into the starting of this book of Luke, Lord. We appreciate it. Open our hearts, our mind, our ears to whatever you have for us today. Jesus, we pray it in your name. Everybody said, amen, amen. If I can get somebody to pass one of these out to whomever, that'd be great. Whoever wants to jump on that, do it now. So, what do we know about Luke? Do we know a lot about Luke? Do we know a little about Luke? About what is with these Gospels? That's the dude, get out of the dark side. Luke. He was a Gentile Christian, Luke was. He was more than likely from Antioch in Syria, a physician, called a beloved physician. You know, he studied more than likely Greek medicine. Paul called him a beloved physician in Colossians 4:14. He was well educated, listen, and he wrote with polished Greek. May have been trained again in Greek medicine. What did he do? He wrote the Gospel of Luke. He wrote the Acts of the Apostles. Do you know where he got the Gospel of Luke from? The first writer, Mark. Mark was the first writer. Mark wrote in a bottom line format. Do you know where Mark got his information from? It was not from Jesus directly. Believe it or not, he followed Peter around, and when Peter taught, he made notes of what Peter taught. And of course, you know, if he's traveling with him, he's going to hear everything that Jesus taught. Peter was considered that leader of that group. Excuse me. Whenever he had, after the resurrection, and Peter was like, where are we going? He said, I'm going to go back to my business. He went back to fishing. Well, guess what? The disciples went with him too. He was quite the leader, and he was quite the teacher. But the only thing we have is letters that he's written in 1st and 2nd Peter. But in a sense, we have a gospel from him, thank you to his scribe, Mark, in his letters. Luke used a lot of what Mark had to say. Luke also interviewed a lot of the other disciples, and more than likely, Mary is part of that. You know, he traveled with Paul pretty exhaustively on his trips when Paul had his 3-4 trips or whatever he had. So he gathered all his info for this. This book is written somewhere in 60 to 80 AD or CE, depending on how you like it. And it's just it's not a exhaustive chronological. It is the most chronologically inspired of all of the Gospels that are there. First Luke, then Mark, then Matthew, and John is the least chronological. But it is more expanded in the themes, various themes that he has. So even though he put everything in a clear order, as we're going to see when we open this up here in a minute, him talking about that, also know he did not sacrifice time for content. And that's, I'm totally okay with that, because it's nice to know the timelines, but there's some vague on a lot of that. There's some vague on a lot of that. Yeah. You know what the big theme for him was? The focus on compassion. Compassion for women, for the poor, and the Holy Spirit, miring himself in the Holy Spirit, spreading the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome. I don't know how far that is to fly, let alone to seafare. If somebody wants to look that up, grok that or whatever. But to take a seafaring route, miles and days and time, you just didn't punch a ticket and jump on a plane and fly it from Jerusalem to Rome. But I will tell you, that would be probably like us going up and down the Oregon Trail just to give some loop. 1,400 foot miles. So if the average person, what, travels about 3 to 5 miles a run, that's a few miles right there for our mathematicians. Let me tell you, how far do you go to talk to somebody about Christ, to bring that new message to them? You understand Jesus never went more than a couple of hundred miles from center. It does not matter where you're at. Listen to me. It does not matter where you're at. If you're heavy into screens, you can go all the way around the world. You can bounce on every satellite from here to Egypt and back. Very quickly. You know, you see those reporters on TV, they have about a 2-second delay. I had a sister and brother-in-law who lived in Indonesia, and we talked on a traditional landline. there's about a 5-second delay. It's like a one-way radio. How is it for England? Do you get pretty quick discussion? Yeah. There's no delay? You see how fast that is? How many miles is it from here to there if you just flew? Roughed in. That's okay. How long does it take you in the air?
Nine and a half hours.
So call it 10 hours, round it up, just for easy. So about 10 hours to England. And do you get the chance to talk with folks back then, back home? I know home's here now. Yeah, good. So you see, she has the opportunity to talk not only with people that she works with, but people that are across the pond, as we say. Luke did this as well. There is this dude called Theophilus. It's a capital T. There's this discussion on whether the name Theophilus is for Christendom or if it is specifically a person. I default to the personhood because of the capital T on his name. The name Theophilus is lover of God. You know, I love that he's wanting this accounting because in this time there were so many people writing so many different things about what Jesus was and what he wasn't. And I got to tell you, a lot of them were wrong. Some of them didn't get it right. Some of them self-motivated, however it would be. I'm not saying it's a great conspiracy, but some didn't have true or good information or data, filling in the blanks and however it may be. And Theophilus wanted to cut through all of the minutia. And as Luke traveled, for however long he traveled, some say he took a couple of years off. Others say that he came out of Antioch, Syria, and just did his medical practice while working with Paul along the way. So, you know, that's a question mark. It's not a doctrinally disciplined for any one of us. It's a loose fit here, totally loose fit. But I like that. I like his compassion because, you know, when you're somebody that's in the medical arts, you really do care about people. I know there's some of it in for money, but it's a minority of that. The majority of people that get in the medical field, whether they are helping people get through physically, working with old folks, working with sick people, they genuinely care about people or they wouldn't do it. Some of you guys work with our special needs families and whatnot, and that's not easy when an adult fills their pants and you got to clean them, you know. That sounds kind of rough and gross, but that's the job. That's the job. You know, I remember one time when I had a grandson here and he was horsing around with my great nephew and they slammed the door and my grandson's hand went through that glass. $1,600 later, you know, he was all bandaged and stitched up. But I watched Brent. He actually works with some folks that have a greater need than some people. And man, he jumped right on. He had the rubber gloves on. There was blood everywhere. He was cleaning up. You could tell the guy was medically trained and he didn't have to be told anything. He just went to work, training kicked in, here we go, you know. So when you're in that medical field, you kind of have a heart for people. Luke had a heart for people. When you read Luke, remember that. He cared. You know, he cared enough. He cared enough about people, even for Theophilus, to get the things right. There's hardly anything written about Theophilus in and outside the Bible. There's not much written about him. But that he cared so much to get it right, he wanted to hear it straight hand. And I'm so thankful that he hired a guy like Luke because if you're doctoring, you have a sense of principle. You have a sense of structure that's going to go through this, right? So he took that compassion with a sense of structure to help whoever needed it, whether for hire or for free. I don't know how that was. It matters me not. The deal is this. He cared to get it right. And so when I look at the book of Luke, much like I look at Hebrews, I see a very trusted exposit coming our way, you know. So good stuff here. He died at 84. Some say it was peaceful, some say not. There's a lot of question marks around that. There even says that he was an artist, that early on that he painted pictures of Mary, and there's nothing that supports that. So you'll hear stuff kind of along the way in that regard. So you know more about Luke than you did before? Say yes. Thank you, because even if you're lying, I'll feel good about it. No, I'm teasing. Intro on this thing. He carefully investigated everything from the beginning. You know, in this country right now, we've got a heavy investigation going on our finances. Is that right? Let me ask you a question. In your household, you are upside down with your money, and you don't know where a lot of it is going. And money's tight. And there's only a couple of cans of beans on the shelf. What are you doing? Are you tightening the corners? Are you looking at everything? Are you still just throwing money and getting credit cards and loading those up? You know, the wise would say, you know, if I had this expenditure, I need to cancel something. Maybe you have a Netflix or a Hulu or whatever you do. You have all of these little apps that you're paying for that cost you monthly or yearly. Oh, it's only $5 a month. Well, what if you have 12 apps at $5 a month? That's $60 a month, right? Times 12 is what? 720 over a 10-year period? That's $7,200. What would you do if you had $7,200 right now? Pay bills? Get debt-free? Some of you would invest. Some of you would create a security fund, so you would have a break glass emergency fund that you would replenish. You see, the thing is this, when I talk with people, and we talk with people a lot about finances, more than love. Finances are probably the number one thing we talk about. I look at lifestyle. You know, I'm a former smoker, former drug user and dealer. You know, I did a lot of bad things, you know, and it cost me a lot of bad money. I remember, oh my God, what cigarette's going for a pack right now? Huh? $11, is that about right? Okay, that's right, you work with them, don't you? Yeah, so, I mean, as far as the you still at the convenience store? Oh, okay, so you have an idea. So $11, right? You smoke a pack a day at $11, how much is that a month? How much is that, $330? $3,030 a year, is that right? Ooh, plus, no, see, $333.9. So about $4,200 a year? That's $42,000 over a 10-year period? How much is a can of Skoll or Copenhagen? Anybody?
No idea.
No idea? No idea costs how much a month? Do you see how this works out? So you take that, plus your apps, plus you shoving your foot on the gas on your vehicle. You can have a big vehicle and learn how to hypermile. Learn a lot about hypermiling. You don't need to punch it to go a block to get to a stoplight and shut it down. It's wasteful. It's hard on your vehicle. You know, when you learn how to slow things down and watch your budget and take care of things, you put things in order. You'll get your finances under control immediately. Some of you need surgery done right now, this second, on your finances because you just can't put it together. Well, I'll tell you, when I quit smoking, I said, I will not pay. How much have I said? More than a dollar. I remember when cigarettes got to 75 cents a pack, I'm like, this is highway robbery. Okay, so is taking my lungs out too for life, right? When they got to a dollar a pack, I was like, nope, I'm done. I am so done. There's no way. And now they're $11 a pack? Please. 13? Well, but that's what we smoke Winston's. They didn't have no cheapy stuff. I mean, the cheapy stuff was candy cigarettes, and that was sugar and inflammation galore, right? Back to it. Kind of coming back to it. What's happening in our country right now, did you know that they gave, how many billions did they give out for submarines?
Billions.
It was like a double-digit billion. Something, let's call it $20 billion for argument. They couldn't find the money to build the submarine, to build the boat. They couldn't find the money. They're finding stuff like this all the time. There's a gal down in Georgia, I don't want names mentioned, down in Georgia, that she had $100 in her 501c3, her nonprofit, and then the next day she had $2 billion in her nonprofit. I am going to name a name on this one. I'm sorry if this offends you, but it's the way it is. I saw that Chelsea Clinton was given $10 million for her home and then given $3 million for her wedding or something like that. Huh? And $5 million for what? Do you see the waste in that? So let me tell you something. You don't think getting things right matters? Because we're talking about money, the number one thing that's talked about in the Bible, correct? We're looking at our government. Do you think that we're bleeding the government? Do you understand you are the government? Do you understand that those are your dollars coming out of your pocket? Do you understand this, right? We were at, Mary Lou and I were at a junior citizens dance in Commerce City the other day. I can't say junior citizen anymore. I'm not that guy. We went to a dance, and I talked to the person who put it together. I said, man, it's a great dance. Thank you so much for putting this thing together at the rec center. I really appreciate it. They said, well, you know, Commerce City gave us the money to do this. I said, oh, so it's taxpayer funded. No, it came from the city. And I just slowed down because seek first to understand, right? This person did not. Do you understand that we pay taxes in Commerce City? Yes. Who pays those taxes? The people. Okay. And so now Commerce City has a budget, correct? Yes. All right. And then they have a stipend from that budget, and you got that stipend to put on this party. So who paid for this party? She goes, I guess the taxpayers did. And this is a person in their 60s, well into their 60s. Do you understand? Please, this is not, it's kind of a pseudo lesson of economics, but it's more a lesson of getting things correct, getting it right. I watched, I'm going to go down this a little further, Lord, forgive me. I watched billionaires give up, one guy gave up five businesses that he made, and he looked at his wife, he says, I can help the country's finances, but I have to leave my five businesses behind. You know what his wife said? Honey, go do it. The country needs you. And they're doing it for free. I watched an interview of these guys that are over the departments. You got to go see it. It's on YouTube, 39 minutes. It's worth your 39 minutes. And it's a guy, Brett Baer, I think is his name, and he's interviewing all the heads of Doge that are looking through. They're not sitting there cutting out people to cut out. They're cutting out the fat and the waste. And they found out, you don't want to know the number one thing they found out the people at the government were? They gave a rat fink about everything. They said, we are so impressed with these government workers. They had been champing at the bit, or chomping at the bit for you guys, chomping at the bit to be able to get these budgets in order, and have never had a person give a whistle crack about anything going on. Isn't that something? So understand, not all these people are sluggards that are working for your government. And they're working for you, by the way. Look, your money matters because it's God's money. And I'll tell you, if you take that same, now let's take all of that, scoop it off the plate, set it off over here. You take that concern for your personal dollars, you take your concern for your city, county, state dollars, your school board dollars, and you take all of that and put it in your care for getting Scripture correct, now you know what it's like for Theophilus. He just wants to know. He wants to know something he can stand on. Are you like that or not? Yes? No? You don't care? That's okay. I'll say it again. Do you want to have that same concern as you care over your dollars as you do for Scripture?
Yes.
Absolutely. And that is an absolutely. How many of you know that I watch pennies here at Outpost? Anybody? Have you seen me look at pennies pretty tight?
Yes.
Why do I look at pennies tight? Not my money. I'm a bank manager of God's money. You are a bank manager of God's money. You're not a teller. You're not. It's not your money going into the bank. It's other people's money coming in, and it's the bank manager's job to make sure that the solvency is there. Same with you with God's money. That's why I care so much about waste in government spending. It is a massive waste of God's money to be thrown away the way it's been thrown away. It's a massive waste for you to be the spiritual bank manager over your heart and mind, and to have it thrown away and wasted. And I love that Luke, that they got a guy like Luke. When I listened to those guys interviewed, I saw what I perceived as the best. They're not 20-year-old guys with wearing T-shirts and flops, right? They're not that. They're guys that are older that wear their equivalent of the same. But to see that laser focus of business in the top 1% of people that know how to put a business together, it made me think of Luke because of that brilliance. It made me think of Paul because of that brilliance and care for getting things right. I know when Pastor Brent teaches, he cares about getting things right. He wants to get them accurate. Is he perfect? Does he make mistakes? Yes to both. Perfect in the sense that he's complete in the Lord, and he does get things right and wrong. And so do I. But you know what? It doesn't change the heart desire to get things right and put across properly. Do we as humans know it all? Do we think we do? And now you see where prayer begins. Right? So he carefully investigated everything from the beginning to give this guy an orderly account so that he may know the certainty of what he's information he's getting. Do you like standing on solid ground? I like knowing what I'm standing on. You know, I barefoot everywhere I go. I know everything that goes under my foot. I can tell if somebody's worn shoes in my house. I can just feel it, right? I can feel the micro layer of any crumbs that come in. I got a dog that brings in leaves and good love, right? But I got to sweep up after, and as soon as my feet tell me that floor is clean, it's just as good as my eyeballs. That kind of sensitivity is the kind of sensitivity we need to guard our hearts with. Do you understand? He wanted to know the certainty. I appreciate the certainty. Who here loves to be lied to? You like to be lied to? I don't like to be lied to. I don't want to be lied to. I don't care about being lied. I learned something about this Musk fella, but I also learned the same thing about Steve Jobs. We've been going through Job. They both will be in a conversation, and if the conversation is not purposeful and forward-leaning, they walk away because it doesn't move the narrative. I find myself in that same company. I'll be at business and, you know, at my business, and there are people there, we're talking business. If they're talking about tomfoolery and stuff that does not move the needle, I don't have time for it. It's foolish talk. Do you understand? You want to hear foolish talk? Hi, Gracie, how you doing, buddy? Wag, 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 that's my dog. She's not here. You asked about her earlier. That's not foolish talk to me. That's investment. And guess what? Hi, Mary, how you doing? I don't talk to her. Like Mickey Mouse or whatever. Listen, you're smarter than you allow yourself to be. You're brighter than the dimming of your heart because of the way this world will pull you aside. I know many of you, some of you very well, and I see the brilliance that God has in you. I want to encourage you to lean towards that truth needle more and more with regularity. So the message title day is prenatal to prophecy. Do you guys know what prenatal is?
Yes.
Okay, do you know what prophecy is? Yes.
No.
Good enough. The revealing of God.
Right.
This stuff about the truth, it causes me to desire, heavily for truth. We even saw it. We're coming up on Resurrection Sunday, but we even saw it with a non-believer in Pontius Pilate. He wanted to know what truth was because he was being confronted with all of these different people groups that were before him that he was in charge over. What is truth? I heard the person over, I can't remember if it was NPR or VBS. I really wanted to hear what she had to say, and I expected her. She goes, well, you know, there's many sorts of truth, and whatever is true for you is true. And there's many more truths that are coming. And I'm like, no, you just made it. You're saying there's no absolutes, but you just made absolute.
That's right.
And so there is a truth, and it's that Jesus loves you. This I know. You know why? He's a meticulous historian, Luke is. He has what the word orderly is cathexis, which means purposeful sequence. Purposeful sequence. Let me ask you, have you ever done something that you wasted your time on and you're like, why did I waste my time on this? Do you know how they drove the Jewish men nuts in Germany? They would have them dig a hole, right, and then put the dirt on the side, and then go dig another hole, and then fill that dirt with this and fill that dirt in the other one and dig another. They drove them mad because they had no sense of purpose. And the German in that specific camp loved tormenting the men with the mental torture like that. It's crazy what can happen. He prioritizes thematic flow as opposed to, this is still Luke, strict timeline. You know, there was a prophetic silence, but God was still active, correct? Do we have Daniel 2:44? Oh, there it is. There was still God doing his work. Daniel 2:44, did I put that in there? I couldn't remember. Thank you. Yeah. During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will what? Now, to read it together. What? Is that an absolute? That is a truth. Or, why are you worried about it then? It will crush all of these kingdoms to nothingness, and it will stand what?
Forever.
Sandlot style?
Forever.
Do you understand? Do you need to be hearing this again, if not for a first time? Because we need to understand that this kingdom that the Lord put forth is this, as Daniel saw in this, is yielding back to us. During this silent time, it doesn't mean that God wasn't working. It's just that he wasn't giving known prophecy. What was happening during these times, a couple of things stand out. The Greek language was being expressed all over Asia and lower Europe. The Greek language, you look at our dictionary is this thick, and the Greek language would be about that thick. We have, I love shoes. I love my dog. I love to go eat. I love my wife. I love Jesus. And one common word is love. But we know by the intent that there's different applications, right? Well, in Greek, they actually have different words for the different things of love. Theophilus, you know, there's the phileo love for Theo, which is God. That's his name, lover of God. Those roads by Rome was paved. So we have a language that the Septuagint was made, which is the Old Testament, put in a Hellenistic language, right? And it had the Apocrypha in that. And that was for all the Jews that were starting to learn Greek culture. And that opened the door for amazing amount of growth of the gospel coming through. The roads being built by Rome. Rome was so cruel. Yeah, it was, but it also built roads that we still use today. It built waterways and all the above. And those roads were the men and women were walking up and down with a Bible, just like you would have modern day today, to be able to go share the word of God during this quieted time. All in preparation for what Luke is going to start us out with coming up here. I love when you start to really get in a balloon and go up way high. Have you guys ever just stood on your ground in your house and that was okay? You see what your house looks like? Have you ever stepped up on a chair and looked at your house? Have you ever got up on a high point in your house or got up on a ladder and just slowly observed everything? It's a whole different angle. It's a whole different view. Have you ever sat up on your roof and looked in your neighborhood? Have you ever used Google Maps and flown over your neighborhood? Google Earth. It's a different experience. You see things differently. And that's what I love is when we get to go up higher and higher and see broader and broader, we see the plans of the Lord. One thing we have on the screen is this. It says, Luke's not giving us a clock, a time here. He's given us God's heart. Do you notice how that's what we've been teaching through these last few years? Zacharias is a priest, but he doubts like we do. How can an old man sire a child? Mary's faith launches the incarnation. She knew that she was carrying Jesus on board. The only question she has was the mechanics. She had younger children. She knows how bodies work, right? John, spirit-filled from the womb, that's John the Baptist, pointing to Jesus. Those silent years, God was moving just like he is today in your life. Have you had silent times in your life? I'm just not hearing from God. Did that mean he stopped working because you couldn't hear him?
No.
Or he was leaving you with whatever you're supposed to do from that time forward? Do you understand the buildup for this? We've got to bring ourselves into that understanding that these are humans that are breathed into by God, thus inspired, so that we can also understand the commonality that we have with mankind and then the duty we have within the commonality to go do the work of the Lord, led by the Holy Spirit. It has to have some book knowledge to it. It has to have some shoe leather to it. It's both. And if you ask me, what am I going to stand on? I'm going to stand on the work showing my faith. But I'm also going to get the book, because that's how I came to know the Lord, was through the book, guided by the Holy Spirit. No arguments in that. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth were considered righteous in God's eyes. You know that they had been praying for children and children never came. They're like 50 years old, because that's when you cut off in priesthood in that time. I've taught you that before. Some of you are first time hearing it. Them being old was old for 50. Anybody here 50? Old. Old. Put that right here, baby. He was a priest from Abijah division, and he was drawing lots for the week of doing incense. So watch this. You take a guy from the bean fields, like green beans. You take the farmer out in the middle of nowhere, and he's a priest out in that kind of country, and he's brought into the temple to be able to do the incense for the week. High honor, especially that he's been a priest his whole life and finally gets the opportunity to go into the Holy of Holies before God. See, look, the challenge we have for it is this. You are already the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? You're the temple. You're where he lives. The incense you get to burn every day. Going behind the massive curtain, you get to do that every single day. We do not have their experience as a priest, or in a modern sense, as a pastor, to go off into this special room, and during that 1 week of my entire life, I get to be in the holiest place on earth. Well, guess what? Zechariah had that. We're all a priesthood of believers, have that right now. You know when he says, go into your prayer closet and pray? That's you going together with him. You know, when these worship leaders come up here and we say worship, there's so many forms of it, the praise and worship guys, what we tell them is, you need to go into that closet and spend time with the Lord and then come out. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can tell when a person, whether they're teaching, whether they're praying, whether they're dealing with finances, whether they're sweeping the floors or running security, you can tell when a man has been in his prayer closet or not. You can tell when a woman has been in her prayer closet and not. Because we stinketh much, depending on the perspective. If you've been in the prayer closet towards the Lord, then you stinketh much unto the world. If you've been in the prayer closet of the world, you stinketh much unto God. Do you understand? You can tell when I have not spent time with the Lord. I'll give you a quick, very quick. We were up in Loveland last year about this time, and I was on an extended fast. And I was praying in a massive hall. And they asked pastors, William Graham had asked pastor or anybody to stand up and pray. And I just stood up, and I don't need a microphone. I belted across the room, probably, I don't know, 5-10 minute prayer, however. After we got done, I was going over to another guy who had done one of these outreach events up in Idaho. I think he was in Idaho Falls. And I'd been there before. Anyway, I asked him, how can I pray for you? And he told me, were you the one praying? He says, yeah. He says, I could tell you've been fasting. And I said, yes, considerable amount of time. People can tell when you've been with the Lord and when you're a fake. So bottom line is this, if you're going to spend time with the Lord, spend time with the Lord. I'll encourage you quite simply one thing, and I'll bounce. Bible Study Together is a free app with a free PDF that you can print out, or you can buy a book. Bible Study Together. It is one of the most wonderful things to initiate study for you that have a hard time with the initiation of study. It also gives you a few questions along the way to respond to. You'll notice on your sheet today, this is for you for another day. This does not line up with what I'm teaching. What's on there is an opportunity for you to go back, and there's some lines underneath that in your quiet time. Maybe you set it on your, you set it on there for a month or 2 hours on your dining room table for you to get back in there and jot a couple of notes what God's showing you. You know, and at the end of mine every day, it says, what is God showing you? And then another question it has on the bottom, it says, where is God working around you? You know what that causes me to do? It causes me to heighten my focus, you know, to get my drone with the camera up and going, to see what's going on around. Where is God working? What is he showing in the scripture? It's nice to have prompts where you don't have to think too much about it. You can just focus on what the Lord's showing you. Again, Luke's not giving us a clock. He's giving us God's heart. Zechariah the priest, he doubts like we do. Mary's faith launches the incarnation. John's spirit filled from the womb. So when you hear, I love Pastor Brennell talk about there's no junior Holy Ghost. And I have said for years that if you're having a challenge with your child, pray. Right then, pray. And watch the work. We were at Experiencing God at our house, and we were going through what I knew to be a very heavy weighted chapter. I think it was chapter 5 years ago. And there was all these youngsters and wee ones there. There's quite a few, probably 15 kids in our house, something like that. Maniacal. You guys know what maniacal is? Have you heard it? Kids are just off the charts, right? Just prayed. Pray. Quiet. Quiet over and over again. Do you know when you quit praying? Never. Constantly pray for those children. That child, John the Baptist, being in the womb, when Jesus walked in the womb room, and Mary, he was in Mary's tummy, and in 3 months after the child was sired, she walks in the room to her cousin, who John the Baptist left when the Savior was there. They didn't see each other. The experience of God was right there, spiritually speaking, in the sense that the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit in the womb. This is the first revelation of the King, infancy, 3 months in. How big are the kids when they're 3 months? Are they about that big? Are they 3 months? Are they this big? Are they this big? About like that? So we're all saying like a hoagie? So this hoagie, how old are they when they're 6 months? Are they a cantaloupe? So they're like a hoagie talking to a good-sized honeydew, right? And here this hoagie's talking to this honeydew, and they don't see each other? And so just this one walking into the room, into the presence of the Most High in the womb, makes that John the Baptist jump. And guess what happened? The mom, Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Spirit. You tell me how he communicates. You tell me why you don't want to pray. You tell me why you don't want to connect with the Most High. When he can do that, did Jesus have the words that we read? Did John the Baptist have words that we read? The Spirit connected that moment, hidden inside a flesh womb tomb, breathing water, liquid, however they do. That to me is the most exciting sense of the presence of the Lord. And you tell me you can't talk with somebody about Jesus? When that kind of power is manifest in you to do that type of work? I'm sorry if this is a little heady for you today, and it may not be. It may be baseline and fundamental, but what I'm not sorry about is encouraging you to continue in that spirit realm, doing the things he has to do. I'll tell you a story I told Thursday night, is that I'm at my house and I'm working, exploring for the day's message and also for Easter morning. And ding dong, ring comes through. And what do we do when the ring camera comes through? You look at your phone, right, to see who's there, to see if you're going to answer the door or not. And there's some dude with a little kid. I'm like, man, I don't have time for Girl Scout cookies. No, I'm working right now. And then the guy starts talking, and I heard, we lost our cat. And I was like, oh, let me go out here. So I'm getting up to the door. It's a bit of ways to get there from where I was at in our house. And I get to the door, and I open the door, and the guy's walking away, and this cutie, little patootie, Lexi, I think her name is, was wearing her little Broncos gear. and they had lost their sickly old cat named Peyton because they are Bronco fans. And I come out and I was like, what's going on? I said, oh, I'm sorry, sorry. I was like, the guy's looking at his phone. And he's like, no, we lost this cat. It's sickly. And all of a sudden, I was just sitting down on the chair, super low, getting way down here to Lexi's height. Because, you know, when you're talking to kids, you know, we teach the security guys, don't tower over children. Get down to their eye level so that they're not intimidated by your stature. You'll carry a lot further down the road when you do that. If you just sit there and bark at them from this, that's a scary venture, you know. So I get down and I'm hearing pray, but it's very quieted, just a sense. And I was like, I don't care what this guy is. Well, I'm so sorry, baby. You're going to find your kitty cat. We lost our old kitty cat, and we found her too. You're going to find yours. And this wasn't some patronizing thing. This is what it was. And so I said, well, let's just pray. And I said, Lord, would you just help Lexi get her Peyton back? We know that it's not dying, it's not hurt, but we want to get back today. We pray it in your name. Amen. Amen. All of a sudden, here comes this good-sized woman driving in the car with the front window and the back window. Yeah, the cat's right down there. And I can't hear because she's just screaming and woo-hooing. And I look at Mike and I'm like, Mike, what's going on? He said, well, that's my sister. And I was like, oh, I thought it may be your wife. No, it's my sister. This is my niece, you know. Mike's probably in his 40s late. We're walking down, and we get to the end of my block in the cul-de-sac, and there's that gal. And she's like, whoop, sliding the car in, jumps out of the car. She comes running. I'm like, man, I'm going to tackle you, you know. She comes running. I heard you pray. I heard you pray. I said, Mike, how she hears pray? I heard that too. And now he had the phone on. And as soon as you said amen, I got a phone call, and they had gotten the cat. So the husband comes out with the cat, puts it in the car. We do our niceties. He's two blocks away, so I send him on his way. No, I walk with him. Can I walk with you? Sure. So we walk together, and he's a quiet guy, super quiet guy, right? You guys know people that are super quiet? Maybe you're that. Hard to, when you talk with somebody, it's hard to talk for me with folks that are super quiet. It doesn't mean that I won't. It just, there's another layer I get to go to, opportunity. And all, he's got this big smile, these big old dimples. For two blocks, he has these smiles. Bye, thank you, we love you. People are driving by, everybody in their cars. And I walked to his car, and he said, this person over here found our cat, but we found out they threw it out when they thought it was their cat, because they had lost a cat that looked like his. And we kind of talked a little bit at his car, and he says, you know, and I prayed for him. I said, you know, this is going to really teach my daughter well about the authority of Christ in her life and how he takes care of everything. He had this biggest smile. He drives on around. I walk onto my house. He drives in front. Thank you again. We'll see you. See you. Bye. Do you understand when you walk in that authority, you get to go help little three-year-old girls get their kitty cats back? What does that on this earth have to do with the Lord and Jesus Christ? Everything, because he's meeting the littles at their level. And you need to understand, as little as she is and all she knows how to do is pet a kitty cat and get scratched, right? And she hears it purr, so it brings her comfort. She can probably help mom and dad around the house a little bit. She doesn't know how to do a Doge audit, right? She doesn't know how to audit your books. She doesn't know all of those things. So God, look here, meets her where she is. Guess what? He meets you where you are. And you, him using you to go meet others where they are, that's critical mass. That is the center of this whole thing. Let's jump in. Enough preview. Luke 1. NLT. I didn't have it on the board. If you guys want to put in Luke 1 and just load it up on the board, I'd appreciate it. You can copy paste one of those others and get it rocking. Sorry I didn't get that in there this morning for you guys. Luke 1 NLT, YouVersion if you got it. If not, we'll have it on the board soon. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. This is Luke writing to Theophilus. So how many? Many people have many accounts, right? They use the eyewitness reports circulating from among us from the early disciples. Do you know what the early disciples are? The first disciples.
The first 12.
Correct. 3, verse 3, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus. He must care about him to give him that honor. So that you can be certain of the truth in of everything you were taught. Of everything that you were taught. Did you catch that? That's the premise. We talked about it when we started. You can see it portrayed right here. Now, verse 4. When Herod was the king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abiha, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from a priestly line of Aaron. So both of these have priestly lines. What tribe would they have been from? More than likely, Levitical, Levi. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They cared about their walk in life. They cared about the position that was put before them. Do you understand? They cared about living for the Lord. This is the premise of these two. They had no children in verse 7 because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very what?
Old.
Do this. Old. Like an old man beard. Old. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple. Who was he serving? Where? And you serve God where? In your temple. For his order was on duty that week. That means the order that he belonged to. As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot, so they had some type of to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. Now you got to understand, you're going in the Holy of Holies, and many a time they would tie a rope around the priest's leg. And if the priest was overcome by the presence of the Lord, they would have to drag them out. Did you know that? Now you do. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. Can you imagine if Brent went into I'll use this closet over here. If he went into this room, the Holy of Holies, and there was a rope coming out, that means the rest of us would be outside praying that God's will, praying for their focus on him, praying for Brent's focus on the Lord. You know, when we ask you to pray for us, it's that kind of intent. Do you understand? Do you understand? Good. The crowd was outside praying. Verse 11, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing in to the right of the incense altar, the power side. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. He says, but the angel said, don't be afraid. Do you understand when the angel is there? This is Gabriel. Gabriel is the messenger. Michael is the warrior, right? You have a seraphim and cherubim. Seraphim are the singers. Cherubim are the warriors. What's the Roman, like a centurion? So cherubim are like centurions. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw. Dude, can you imagine being the Holy Holies where ain't nobody supposed to be there but you, God, and the incense? And all of a sudden, angel man is there, and whatever angel man looks like, I'd be shaking. I'd be shaking in my flip-flops. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah, called him by name. God has heard your prayer. You understand that angel knows that? Your wife Elizabeth, he knows his wife, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. Do you understand what he's given him? He's telling him his future. He's telling them their familial overtone. He's telling him everything about what is to come, right? He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. Do you know that the leadership here, we ask them not to do this? Is it a commandment? No. If they're going to drink or weed up or anything like that, we just ask them not to lead. We ask them to park and step away from it. We want you sober unto the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Even before his birth, right? So this guy hasn't even seated yet. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, not Elijah, of him. And he will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of their fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept wisdom of the godly. Talk about a job title. Do I have an Isaiah 40 in there somewhere? To let you know, Isaiah wrote this quite a bit before. Listen, the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make straight a highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. By the way, these are metaphoric. When the glory of the Lord will be revealed and the people will see it together, the Lord has spoken. This was prophesied way long ago for this, around 600 years before. Zechariah, back to that in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? Do you guys get that way when you get something from the Lord? Pray for that little girl and that kitty cat. And many of us won't do it. For a kitty cat? And you're intimidated by a three-year-old? Really? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in her years. And the angel said, I am Gabriel. Speaking from his authority, I stand in the very presence of God. Don't you know who you're talking to? It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. I brought you news directly from God himself. Now, by the way, you get news directly from God himself, Holy Spirit. But, and the but does apply. Now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. I find it funny that God is still working during these 9 months, but he has silenced the man. There's nothing to this, but I think it's kind of funny or peculiar that for 430 years, God's still working and there's a silence, and it starts out with the most actionable character hearing from God is also to be silenced. I wonder, what would you do with that 9 months? I wonder what his thought life was in this quieted time when he didn't believe the Lord. Look, this is a sobriety check that happened for him. He was caught into the rhythm and the functionality of the world and not the breath speak of the word which we know to be the Lord. In 21. Meanwhile, the people were waiting out for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary. Why is he taking so long? 22. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. They realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. Now, however long it take them to deduce that, I don't know. But is that your conclusion when somebody has been in with the Lord? It's okay. It doesn't make it wrong. Check yourself. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife became pregnant and into seclusion for 5 months. She chilled out for 5 months away from everybody. I don't know why. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. Do you remember she wanted a child? They prayed. They got one right after. Even in his silence, he didn't say, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. This is how you That means let's go make a child. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. You understand that women didn't have children. The other women would give them a big rivalrous sadness for not being able to have children. In the sixth month of Sarah of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. What month of the pregnancy is it? Sixth month. To a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her. Who's Gabriel? He is a messenger. He's a deliverer of God's message. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Can you imagine hearing from an angel coming before you and all of a sudden he says, greetings, Dave. The Lord is with you. Greetings, favored man. Greetings, favored woman. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Dude, she's, I don't know, old enough to have a child. You know, some say 14 to 16 years old. That's not old, to considering you got the number one guy out of God coming down to speak to you, angelic. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus or Yeshua. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestors, David, and he will reign over Israel. How long? His kingdom will never end. Remember the kingdom we saw in Daniel 40 a minute ago? Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Understand, she is not doing what Zechariah is doing. Zechariah is calculating his age. She's trying to figure out, because he already said you and your wife are going to have a child. He knows how that works. There ain't no man that's going to be like that. How's the Lord going to do this? The mechanics of child starting is a peculiarity to her, different outcome. I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, that means set apart, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age of 50 and under. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her what month?
Sixth month.
For the word of God will never fail. Do you understand what the word of God is? It's not just the paper book. That's where it's bound for our modern use. The word of God is his words. Mary responded, listen to this. I ain't doing it. I need money for I'm doing anything of the Lord. I got to get paid to get this done. Is that what she said? No, I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. I got other things to do. I got to go play a video game. She say that? Nope. She said, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. That's the heart that we're to have. Then the angel left her. Did you notice he didn't leave her smitten with no tongue? Did you notice he accepted her where she was at because she accepted what he had to deliver? She understood that he was a deliverer of the news. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. Now listen, at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You understand? Isn't that wild? Have you ever been around somebody that's with the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden you feel something from them, or you had hands laid on, you're sitting there and coming up for prayer for something, they laid hands on you and you felt something fire through all the way to your heels, or you felt fire or heat? Yes, no? Elizabeth gave a cry and exclaimed, Mary, God has blessed you above all women and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of the Lord should visit me? Who told her she was the mother of the Lord? Holy Spirit. When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You were blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Who told her that? Holy Spirit. It's fair to imply. Mary responded, this is a prayer. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of this lowly servant girl. Did you catch that? A whole nothingness in man's consideration. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed or happy. For the Mighty One is holy. He has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who respect him. Do you notice he didn't say he showed love? He showed the components of love, mercy and grace. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He's scattered the proud ones and haughty ones, and he's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. In verse 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth how long?
3 months.
So how far is she pregnant?
3 months.
And how long is Elizabeth pregnant? Fixing a domino? Okay, you know what domino means, right?
Pizza?
Boom. For you, it's pizza. For her, it's your baby. 57, when it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the son had been, that the Lord had been merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. Why the neighborhood? Because she was all hiding out, remember? Everyone rejoiced with her. Let me tell you something. That young man over there and his bride were told by doctors, 99% chance you're not having babies. Your son and daughter-in-law were told they weren't going to have babies. And God gave insight here and insight there. And there's 3 children as the result of that. We listen to the Lord. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. I got to tell you, most boys, when they get cut by the doctor, ain't nobody there but the folks. There's a party going on for this Brits, this circumcision. That's a weird thing to me. I don't want to come and see your little get cut. You know, but that's their culture. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. Who wanted to name them? All that came to the ceremony, because you take your daddy's name. But Elizabeth says, no, his name will be John. What? They said, what? There's no one in your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father to what he wanted to name him. And they motioned for a writing tablet. And to everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. But it sounds like this. Remember, you can't talk? Instantly, Zechariah could speak again. What was the first thing that happened when he got relieved from the penalty that he self-inflicted? He started praising God. When we get free of bondage, whether it's minuscule or maxim, we praise the Lord because there is a relief in sight. He fouled. He should have just taken the message, right? Easy for me to be a Monday morning quarterback. He should have taken the message like Mary, but he didn't. He was a stubborn, thick-headed guy in this case. And he paid a 9-month price of silence for that thick-headedness. And he began praising God. Wow. 65, awe fell upon the whole neighborhood. Now you understand awe. That's why we like to really kind of pull that word back and give it back to God. Dude, that burrito was awesome. Not God level. Seeing somebody get their voice back, that is the work of the Lord. Seeing people all speak the same language, and all of a sudden, because they built a high tower, all the names were changed, and we have various cultures because of that moment in biblical time. How come God has us speak in different languages? Y'all should all spoke the same language, but y'all chose to stop moving because God told you to keep moving. You stopped and wanted to build a tower to be higher than God, Tower of Babel, and Babylon. All fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread out throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected these events and says, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord surely upon him in a very special way. Then in 67, Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this prophecy gave this prophecy. Stop. In his praise, he was redeemed with his vocal. When he fulfilled what he was supposed to fulfill in naming his son John. It didn't come from his mama. It came from the spiritual head of that home. And when it came, he praised the Lord. And the Holy Spirit didn't wait for Pentecost. That same Holy Spirit that leapt in Elizabeth's tummy is the same Holy Spirit that filled him here. And this is what he says. Praise the Lord God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from a royal line of his servant David, just as he promised. That's talking about Old Testament looking forward. Through his holy prophets long ago, we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors. There's that word mercy again. And remembering his sacred covenant, the one he gave to Abraham, the covenant he had sworn with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies. We can serve God without fear. The same fear that he had in the thing earlier. Without fear, in holiness and righteousness, for as long as we live. You still have that blessing today. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Do you remember this? He's a priest. This is a sacrifice of animal era. And now he's talking about something so dynamically different. Was Jesus there to give that same kind of repentant message? The Holy Spirit was. Because of God's tender, what? The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. Wow. Coming from the darkness of no tonality, not being able to speak, to now bring the type of words that Mary spoke earlier because of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that is each and every one of you when you spend time with the Lord. Your prayers look different. Your people around you get healed. Some will repel what you have to say and leave. All points in between. John grew up and became strong in the Spirit. And he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. There's a lot in that, isn't there? Your homework is to go reread and put yourself in the place that the Lord would have had you there. What part would you play in that? Feel what it's like to be Zechariah. Feel what it's like to be Mary. Feel what it's like to be Elizabeth. Feel what it's like to be John the Baptist. There's so much going on. But when you're going through all of that and reading it, listen. Do not do that without the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? How do you get the Holy Spirit? Ask. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. If you haven't heard from the Spirit in a while, you probably have a sin blockage in your life. Just repent. Repent just says turn from it. Turn from it. Zechariah took him 9 months to turn from it till he did what the Lord wanted him to do. Do you understand why the Lord cares so much about breaking you from yourself? He's not breaking you into worthlessness. Like a cowboy breaking a horse, he breaks the horse that both the rider and the horse can work together in concert. You're being broken unto him, so that you and God can be working together in concert. Amen? 2 minutes, what did God show you? Just somebody, whoever got...